Would you turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 6? Luke chapter 6. We're in Luke's account of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that's found in Matthew. In Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount covers three chapters. The first of that sermon is known as the Beatitudes. Luke's account here is shorter, but parts of Jesus' sermon in Matthew are found elsewhere in Luke. He's just laid it out a little bit different, as oftentimes we find between the Gospels. But here Luke seems to drill down on a few things that Jesus directed toward his disciples, and we'll see that as we go. And we've got to be reminded that when Jesus addresses his disciples in Scripture, he's also addressing his disciples right now, correct? Because he's addressing us. Those that have been saved and following Christ are disciples of Christ. Now let's look together at this passage in Luke 6, beginning with verse 20. It says, "And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on the account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets.'" Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, as we look at this passage and we consider the things in it, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would guide us. Lord, help me to say everything that you want said. And Lord, if there's something that I plan to say that you don't want said, eliminate that. Lord, may this time, may all of us focus on listening to your word. And we'll give you the praise as always. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, you'll notice in verse 20 that it says Jesus lifted up his eyes on his disciples. Or your version of the scripture may say that Jesus looked at his disciples. So we understand that Jesus is looking at that group of disciples. So when Jesus is addressing the poor, the hungry, the weeping, and the hated, he's not addressing humanity in general, which is all of those things, by the way, right? But he's addressing the ones who already believe in him. And so it's the believing poor, the believing hunger, the believing weeping, the believing that are hated. In addition, Jesus is not saying that these are different classes of Christians. You know, there's poor Christians and there's not, and there's hungry Christians and there's not, and so forth. But true believers fit in these categories, as we'll find out. Now, we also notice that Jesus says that the poor, the hungry, the weeping, and the hated are blessed. Blessed. Doesn't sound like much of a blessing that we would normally think about, right? I don't think much about a blessing where people hate me. I mean, blessing equals happiness, doesn't it? No, happiness is a feeling that comes and goes. I mean, we can be happy one moment, right, and sad the next. Happiness is not what Jesus is talking about here. It's a feeling. And your blessedness doesn't have anything to do with your feelings, right? Blessedness is your state in Christ no matter what's going on at the time. If you're saved this morning, you're blessed no matter how you feel, right? We're blessed if you're saved this morning. Now that we are understanding that Jesus is talking to us and that being blessed doesn't have to do with our feelings, what does Jesus mean when he said that blessed are you who are poor? What does he mean? I know a lot of Christians that have a lot of money, and I know a lot of Christians who don't, and some really don't. But that term poor is more of a theological term here than an economic term. And to help us understand that, that same term or word poor is also used in the Old Testament Psalms, the Psalms of King David. Psalm 40 and verse 17, David said, "As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me." Psalm 86, 1, David said, "Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy." Now, knowing that King David wrote these words, none of us are going to think that David was an economically poor man, right? Now, David wasn't broke. He was very wealthy, as a matter of fact. So, what did Jesus mean and what did David mean by the term poor? In Matthew's account of this sermon, he included the words in spirit. Poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's what we're talking about here this morning. Those who are poor in spirit are humble. Those who are poor in spirit humble themselves before a mighty God and realize that without Him, that they're nothing. And we really are, aren't we? We're nothing without God. The true Christian's always going to be poor in spirit because he should be, or he should be, or she should be always humble. That kind of levels the field a bit, doesn't it? Whether you have money or you don't, you should humble yourselves before Almighty God. You're poor in spirit. Blessed are you who humble yourselves before the Lord. Amen. The kingdom belongs, it says, to the poor in spirit, to those who in humility accept the gospel. Blessed are the poor. And then Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger now. Matthew added the words, and thirst after righteousness, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And that's true. You and I as believers should always have a hunger and a thirst for the righteousness of God. But Luke paraphrased that one, or he phrased it, not paraphrased, but he phrased that talking about those who hunger now. Those who hunger now. Luke was thinking about what we hunger for now. Now, you know how we are most of the time when we say that we're hungry. We're not really talking about righteousness, are we? We're talking about food. And ironically, as I studied this passage, I was eating a cinnamon roll and drinking a cup of coffee. That's my Saturday morning routine. I get up real early, I get the coffee started, and I get into the Bible. Because it's time to get it together, right? It's Saturday. But most of us in here this morning may not understand being hungry with no food and no money to buy it. But the fact is, there's Christians all over the world right now, even in the United States, even in Lexington, maybe right here, that are hungry, physically hungry. But I want to tell you this morning that they're also spiritually hungry, right? They are spiritually hungry. You and I are blessed. And when we become aware of hunger, spiritual hunger, then and we can do something about it or help someone else with that, we should do it, right? The fact that Jesus said, "Blessed are you who hunger now," means that it's a temporary condition. Even though we would hunger and thirst for righteousness, the righteousness of God right now, one day we won't hunger any longer. One day we will be in the presence of God. That's why we won't hunger any longer, because we'll have all of it, won't we? One day we'll be completely satisfied when we sit at the Lord's table of abundance. Blessed are you who are poor, who hunger now, the verse said. Third thing is, blessed are you who weep now. It's a sad thing that when those of us who follow Christ are unmoved by what's going on in the world around us, unmoved by the condition of the church that continues to decline while the world gets larger and larger. What's wrong with that? Unmoved by those who are selfish and only concerned about themselves. Unmoved by the greed and the hatred of the world against Christians. Unmoved by the fact that millions of people will one day step off into eternity without Christ. We sit here unmoved. How could that be? How could it be that we're unmoved or unconcerned about these things? Why is that? We need to be on our faces before God. Is that not right? Our faces before God about all of those things. I believe Jesus said that we are blessed if we weep over these things because we've matured to a point that we have the same mind as He does of the world that we live in. What did Jesus do in the scripture when He looked out over Jerusalem, that city that He wanted to turn away from what they were following and turn to Him? He said, "Oh, that you would come and that I could gather you as a hen does her young chicks under its wings." Long about that time is that scripture, that shortest verse in the Bible says Jesus wept. Not far from that, not in the same story. Blessed are you who weep. I wonder when the last time that we wept about those things. Have we wept lately about lost folks? Have we wept lately over the condition of the church and the condition of everything that's going all around us? And this election year when all this crazy stuff's going on, does it cause us to weep? Does it cause us to be concerned? Blessed are the weep, those who weep now, because you're on the same page as Jesus is. And that's exactly where we need to be, all of us, including me. And Jesus said the reward for weeping now is laughter later. Blessed are you who weep now, because one day all your reasons for weeping will be gone when the Bible says that Jesus will wipe away every tear. Amen. We go through this world that we're in now and all these things happening, all these horrendous things happening. And one day when we get before Jesus, all those things that caused us to weep, He'll wipe the tears from our eyes. Isn't that amazing? But for now, we weep. And then a fourth thing it says, blessed are you when others hate you. You know, I've always liked people to like me. Haven't you? I don't like it when people hate me or they don't like me or something. There's something. I like to be liked, don't you? Most of us, I think, do, don't we? We like to be liked. And it bothers me when I know that there's somebody that doesn't like me for some reason or that. I know that's hard for you to believe that anybody could not like me, right? But there are. Does that bother you when somebody doesn't like you and you know that? And you know, but hate me. Blessed are you when others hate you. Verse 22 says, blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Not too long ago, we would only hear of Christians being hated in some third world country, right? That happens on the other side of the globe. But hatred against Christians has come to nest in America, in case you haven't noticed that. We're either ignored or hated by those who don't know Christ. But you know what? It affects me differently if somebody hates me because of Jesus, right? I mean, it's different. You can hate me for something silly or goofy I did or something I said, but if you hate me because of Jesus, it's okay. The Bible says I'm blessed for that. But hatred against Christians has come to nest in America. Even some who claim to know Christ hate us when we take a biblical stand on something like abortion or homosexuality. They call us haters. They say that we're haters when in fact that's the very thing that they're doing to us. They're hating us for the stand that we take. I don't understand the thinking, the reasoning behind that. But this type of thing has been happening somewhere in the world ever since Jesus established his church on the earth and the Jews before that, right? Look at all the things that happened. When the Jews converted to Christ, they were excluded and expelled from the synagogue. You follow Jesus now, we don't want you here anymore. You follow Jesus and you could lose your life. And that's still happening today, by the way. There are people that because they follow Christ, their life is threatened and some of them are losing their lives. Christians are hunted down and killed in very gruesome ways down through history. You read about these ones that would take Christians and strap them to poles and light a fire under them and make them human torches. Horrible stuff. We still, you know, haven't seen the persecutions in America like that, have we? We haven't seen it to that extent. And other than some church shootings that we've saw, the worst thing that happens to us is our feelings gets hurt about something, right? Isn't it crazy when people in a church get their feelings hurt? Is that not the dumbest thing ever? And the reason I say that is because you're going to get your feelings hurt because so-and-so said something that hurt your feelings when your brothers and sisters in Christ are around the world being killed for their faith, and you're going to get your feelings hurt. I don't understand that, Robert. I just don't understand it. But you know, that kind of persecution is coming to America, and the question is, are we going to stand for Christ when it does come? Are we going to be true to our faith? It's easy to say that now, isn't it? We're in all the comforts of an American church. I think about that quite a bit. Will we stand with Jesus when it gets tough? And we could see some tough stuff one of these days. Doesn't seem like it's that far off. But Jesus said that we're blessed when men hate us and people that would exclude us and revile against us and reject our name as evil because of him. But he didn't say get mad about it, did he? He said rejoice about it. Rejoice in that day. He said leap for joy when it happens. Amen? He said, because you have a great reward in heaven. That's how Christians have made it through these persecution spells down through history. Stand amidst persecution because they know that there's a day out there. Right? There's a day out there when things are going to be different. There's a day out there when great will be my reward in heaven. So these little things just pale in comparison when I think about how great the reward in heaven will be one day because I stood for Jesus. Amen? Jesus reminded us that we're not alone. At the end of verse 23, he said they did the same thing to the prophets. You know, you think you might have it bad now. And Luke is saying, basically, Jesus is saying, you think you had it bad now? Because you're following me. Look what they did to the prophets. Go back into the Old Testament and see what they did to the prophets. You think you'd be all alone in your persecution? No, the prophets of old faced the same persecution. But with Jesus, this passage of blessings also comes warnings after this passage. It begins in verse 24. He says, "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. Woe to those who are not poor in spirit and satisfied with what the world has to offer," right? "Woe to you who are content and not concerned with anything else but yourself. Woe to you who laugh now, not sorrowful over the condition of the church and the lost and other things of Christ. Woe to you when everybody speaks well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets," he says now. You notice this time he said false prophets. Back up in verse 23, he said the prophets. In other words, the true prophets. But he said, "Woe to you when everybody speaks well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." I don't know about you, but I would rather be blessed in Christ. Amen. I would rather be poor in spirit, always realizing that I have a need for Jesus. Woe unto me should the day come when I feel like I don't need Jesus. I would rather stay hungry for Jesus, and reminded that there's people that are hungry all around me. They're hungry. They're desperately looking for something, and they don't know what it is, and what it is that they need is Jesus. I'd rather be in a state of mourning for my church and the lost and other conditions than to bring sorrow to my Lord. Are you hearing me this morning? I would rather have people hate me for being a Christian than to be lost and in love with this world. This world doesn't have anything for me, does it, you? Doesn't have anything for me. As the song says, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Amen. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Amen. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray that your word went out properly today, dear God. Father, as we come to this time of invitation, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to examine our lives and consider our obedience to you and consider our church and our town and our country, Lord. Father, would you keep that in front of us? Would you realize, or help us to realize, that we're blessed when we're poor in spirit, when we're hungry now, that we're blessed when people hate us because of you. Lord, you've not forgotten us. We know that. You've not forgotten those around the world who are persecuted. So, Father, I pray that right now you'd help us to think about these things. We love you and praise you and thankful that you saved us. In Jesus' name, amen.